نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، سيدنا علي رضي الله تعالى عنه سيز ارتحلت الدنيا مدبرة وارتحلت الآخرة مقبلة. دي الدنيا is going away with its back turned towards us. Irtahalati dunya mudbiratan. The world is going away with its back turned towards us. Vartahalati al-akhiratu muqbilatan. And the akhirah is coming towards us. The akhirah is approaching with its face towards us. When somebody leaves us and goes, his back is towards us. And when somebody is coming towards us, then his face is towards us. So Ali radiyallahu anhu in this statement is saying, dunya is going away from us, dunya is leaving us, and akhirat is coming to meet us. Dunya is leaving us, akhirat is coming towards us. Or, we are distancing ourselves from the dunya and daily coming nearer and nearer to the akhirah. So dunya is leaving us, akhirat is coming towards us, to meet us. And when akhirat meets us, it will never leave us. We will remain with akhirat forever and ever. So dunya is temporary and akhirat is permanent. So Ali radiyallahu anhu is saying, dunya is leaving us, akhirat is coming towards us, to meet us. We are slowly, slowly moving away from dunya and getting nearer and nearer to the akhirah, until a day will come when we will completely detach ourselves from the dunya and we will meet the akhirah. And in this world, we are visitors, we are guests. This world is a temporary abode for us, and the akhirat is the permanent abode. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to me, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabil. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, stay in this world as if you are a traveler. Aw abiru sabil, not even a traveler, a wayfarer. A wayfarer, someone who is just passing by. When we go for a holiday from Leicester to London for 3 days, then when we stay for 3 days in London, we are travelers. But whilst going to London from Leicester, when we stop at the cafe for a cup of tea or to perform salat, we are not a traveler, we are a wayfarer, just passing by. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that remain in this world as if you are a traveler, not even a traveler, just as a wayfarer. When Malakul Maut will come to extract your ruh, then at that time you will feel as if you have only spent a few moments in this world. At that time you will realize this hadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was only a traveler in the world. Yes, it only looks like 3 days. It only looks like 2 days. It only looks like 1 day. Not even 1 day, it looks as if I was in the world for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. This dunya, this worldly life for which we are striving, dunya, 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 this car, that house, this bungalow, this status, this position, this job, this salary. It seems very long at the moment. And this dunya looks very long to everybody. Except the muttaqi awliya servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It looks very long. Somebody who is in his 20s will feel that I still have a good 60 years to go. And somebody who is 60, he will feel that I still have 40 more years to go. One old man said, who was 75 years old, that Alhamdulillah, with lot of afiyat, Allah has made me reach 75% of my destination. And after 2 years, he passed away. He was expecting to stay for another 25 years. After 2 years, he passed away. All these whims and desires, I will do this, I will do this, I will become this, I will become that, I will acquire this, I will acquire that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the borderline. This is the borderline. He drew a box and then he drew a long line. Line coming out of the box, of the square box. And he said that this line here, the line of the box, that is the boundary line of this worldly life. This is as far as a person is going to reach. But he said this line that has gone out of the box, that is his wishes and desires. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. No person is able to accomplish his desires in this world. Every person who leaves this world leaves his desires behind, incomplete. Every person thinks it's still a long way to go, it's still a long way to go, it's still a long way to go. Hakimul Ummah Hazrat Thanvi, Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, in his time, 50-60 years ago, that it's very difficult to encourage yourself to do good by thinking about the day of Qiyamah, he used to say. Because naturally a person feels Qiyamah is still a long way to go. So he would say that it's difficult to encourage yourself to leave evil and do good by thinking about the day of reckoning, the day of Qiyamah, because as soon as you think about the day of Qiyamah, day of reckoning, immediately Shaitan will put these thoughts in your mind that, oh, Qiyamah is still a long way to go. So he used to say that think about your death. Because death is only a few years away, a few months away, a few weeks away, a few days away, maybe a few minutes away. Maybe a few seconds away. So it's more easier to encourage yourself. He used to say this in his time. But nowadays, even remembering death doesn't work. Because even about death, people say, death is still a long way to go. In order to understand the coming year, think about the past year. Coming year. We are in Ramadan at the moment, and we are making intentions that inshallah, next Ramadan I will come for itikaf again, and inshallah next Ramadan will be better than this Ramadan. Shaitan deceives us. Shaitan is our open enemy. Open declaration he made. That I will not let, I will try my utmost not to let any of the children of Adam go in Jannah. Open declaration. So our way of thinking should be that I have wasted 6 days of Ramadan, I only have 3 more days or 4 more days, so I should work more. But Shaitan will put these thoughts that I have wasted this Ramadan, this i'tikaf I have wasted, already 6 days gone. 7 nights gone, only 3 nights to go. Inshallah, next year I will come and work harder. So the coming 3 days will be even more worse. More worse than the last 6 days. So we are thinking about the coming Ramadan, that inshallah, next year I will come for itikaf again, or inshallah, next year I will go for Umrah. Very long year. Shawwal, Zulqada, Zulhijjah, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Akhir, Jumada, Jamadiul Awwal, Jamadiul Akhir, Rajab, Shaban, long year. But in order to understand this coming long year, look at the past 12 months. Does it look long? When Ramadan started, we were thinking 30 days to go. And after 10 days, what did everybody say? This Ramadan is going very fast. If we look at the coming 4 days, they seem very long. Look at the last 4 days. Alhamdulillah, through the barakah of itikaf, through the barakah of the environment, through the barakah of the good company we have, alhamdulillah, so many pious people here, so many ulama here, and everybody has come with a good intention, so alhamdulillah, with so many brothers, whether religious or irreligious, but with good intention. So at the moment, everybody is good, alhamdulillah. Through the barakah, we have been working very hard, all we weak ones. If we compare our ibadat with the ibadat of the awliya, with the ibadat of the pious people, we have done nothing. If we think about what is expected of us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, we have done nothing. And we should always say in our praise that, oh Allah, I haven't done anything. I am guilty. Despite you bringing me here, I am guilty. But looking at it from our perspective, we have worked hard. The timetable, whether we like it or not, we woke up, we got up, we came to the masjid, we remained silent, we were reciting the Quran, we tried. So such vigorous last 4 days. But despite the vigor, it seems as if it was only 1 hour. When time passes away, it looks like it is 1 hour only. 4 hours of entertainment somewhere. May Allah save us from unlawful entertainments. 4 hours of entertainment. After the program is over, it's as if it was only a few seconds. So in order to understand the coming year, think about the past. In order to understand the coming years, think about the past years. When I think about myself, that from the time I reached the age of 15 until now, such a long time. What have I achieved? What can I remember of this long life? The bullet points, the highlights, the achievements. Then it seems as if it was only a few hours. We forget our happinesses, we forget our sorrows. Sorrow is gone, happiness is gone, we forget everything. At the time of death, my friends, this is exactly what will happen to us when we look back at our lives. Tujhe pehle bachpan ne barson khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya, ajal tera kar degi bilkul safaya. Tujhe pehle bachpan ne barson khilaya, your childhood made you play for years. 2 year old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, nothing but play, 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 play. Then we became young in our teens. Jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, you became insane. Insane. Why is youth insane? Why is the youth insane? Because insane person cannot take correct decision. Insane person cannot use the faculty of intellect. Who is insane? The one who doesn't have akal is insane. Pagal. Majnun. Jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is saying in these couplets that youth, despite your being intellectual, made you insane. Despite having the intellect. The intoxication of the youth did not let you use your intellect. Important things became unimportant, and unimportant things became important to you. Significant things became insignificant, insignificant things became significant. Friends became foes and foes became friends. Even parents become enemies. Parents never see their child as an enemy, but children do see their parents as enemies. So childhood gone, but Allah will not ask regarding the childhood. Youth is gone. And youth is the foundation. If youth is gone, what good amal will you be able to carry out later? So in old age, budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya? In old age, you are being punished by Allah. Punished physically, illnesses, weaknesses, children leaving us, friends leaving us. Because our friends are friends, only until our company is fun and entertainment for them. Parents are always our parents. Brothers are always our brothers. Sisters are always our sisters. Uncles are always our uncles. But friends are our friends only until we are fun and entertainment for them. Don't deceive yourself that I've got so many friends. The circle of brothers never change. I have 5 brothers, they remain 5 brothers. But circle of friends keep changing. Either because of us or because of them. Either we are no fun for them or they are no fun for us. So either we change the friend circle or they change the friend circle. The friend circle we had when we were in infant school, we don't even know them today. When we go into primary school, we change friendship. They are still in that school. They are also attending the school. But friendship changes. When we go to secondary school, friendship changes. When we go to college, friendship changes. When we go to university, friendship changes. Why? Because there is no such thing as friendship. In this world, there is no such thing as friendship. There is only one thing. Friendship based on taqwa. Friendship based on taqwa. That is the only friendship. The Quran says so. Al-akhillau ba'duhum yawma'idhin li-ba'din aduun. On the day of Qiyamah, friends will become enemies for each other. Quran says so. So there is no such thing as friendship. On the day of Qiyamah, friends will become enemies for each other. One will say, he lured me to the cinema. And the other will say, no, it was him, not me. He paid for the tickets. They will blame each other. So every friendship is a mirage. It doesn't exist. Except for, the Quran says, Al-akhillau yawmaydin ba'duhum libadin aduhun illa al-muttaqeen. But the people of taqwa. Those people who are friends on the basis of taqwa. That we are friends because I love him, because he is hafiz of the Quran, and he loves me because I am religious according to him. On this basis, friendship on this, not for entertainment, not for fun. Only that friendship is true friendship, and that friendship will remain in this world. That friendship will help us at the time of death. Because that friend of ours, he understands what the death is. So, because of his taqwa, so he will pray for us. He will turn to Allah and he will ask Allah to grant us husne khatima. This friendship will help us in the qabr also, in the grave also. Because our friend who has taqwa understands what will happen in the grave if my friend is not forgiven. So he will make lots of duas for us. He will make other people make dua for us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, 7 categories of people will be granted shade under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there will be no shade except the throne, shade of the throne of Allah. Who are these 7 categories? One category is Rajulan Tahabba Fillah. Those two friends who loved each other only for the pleasure of Allah, not for fun or entertainment. Ijtama alayhi, when they got together for the pleasure of Allah. Watafarraqa alayhi, when they separated for the pleasure of Allah. Tujhe pehle bachpan ne barson khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. Where are my friends? Nobody comes to see me, nobody phones me, nobody picks my phone up. I can't come out of bed, I can't look after myself, my children don't come to see me. And then thinking about all the evils of the past and thinking about what will happen to me when I die. Budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. Torment, mental torment, mental torture. And whilst he is entangled in this torment and torture, death will come, ajal tera kar degi bilkul safaya. My young friends, don't rely on your friends. Don't rely on your friends. If you make a survey of all the Muslims who have gone on the wrong path, drugs, alcohol, theft, cheating, whatever, crime, on the path of crime. If you make a survey of all the Muslims who have gone on that path, you will come to this conclusion that the cause was wrong friendship. Wrong friendship. So try to keep to yourself. Try to keep to yourself. Try to return home as soon as possible. If you have weekends off, don't stay in the university. Come home and spend time with your parents and your brothers and your sisters. Make them your friends. In holidays, don't go here and there with your friends. Stay with your parents. Stay with your relatives. Give them love, take love from them. So life is very, very short. When we will be breathing our last, this is what we will see. تجھے پہلے بچپن نے برسوں کھلایا, جوانی نے پھر تجھ کو مجنو بنایا, بڑھاپے نے پھر آ کے کیا کیا ستایا, اجل تیرا کر دے گی بالکل صفائی. And let me tell you one more thing. When we are children, what do? We play. In the initial stages, we play with small toys. Small toys. And then we start playing sports. At the age of 3, whatever our engagement is at the age of 3, whether it's toys or games or whatever, when we reach the age of 5 or 6, and when we look back, we tell ourselves that those games and those toys were for a 3-year-old, not for me. And I was wasting my time. Now I realize I was wasting my time. When we reach the age of 10, we think the same about when we were 6. So all those things that are important when we are in our prime youth, friend circle, going here and there, late nights, when we reach the age of 30, 35, 40, we get the same feeling that I was wasting my time in all these things. What was I doing? This was waste of time. And when what we do after the age of 35, 40, we settle down, wife, children, we strive to acquire a good house, buy a house, pay off the loans, buy a good car, have a family life, that becomes very important. But when we will breathe our last and when we will see akhirat, we will feel the same about all these things as well. If somebody at the age of 15, you see him with a nice set of mobile phone, if you say to him that you give this mobile phone to me and I will give you that nice little car that you used to play with at the age of 3. At the age of 3, no, don't take this car, this is mine. Beta, give it to Ammi, no. Abba, no, nobody. This is my car. So at the age of 40 and 50, we don't change. The only thing that changes is the size of the car. That's all. This is my car. This is my BMW. This is my Mercedes. This is my Lexus. At the age of 3, the child cries, I want this car. Mom says, no. Next time, no, I want this car. So at the age of 30, at the age of 35, 40, 50, we keep browsing through the catalogs that one day I also want to buy this car. And we start saving. And the day we buy that car, it is as if we have entered Jannatul Firdaus. Great success. But what is the significance of that big car at the time of death? Same as the significance of that small car when we reach the age of 12. The awliya and the muttaqoon, the people with taqwa, the people with wilayat, in this very world, when they see big cars, Mercedes, BMW, they see them as toys, nothing but toys. Because they know the reality of the hereafter. They know that in comparison to the hereafter, this is nothing. Nothing. It's only a means of transport. Whether it's Toyota, whether it's Mercedes, whether it's Lexus, it's a means of transport. Doesn't make any difference. Why strive for it? Allahu Akbar. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb. Stay in this world as if you are a traveler. No, as if you are a wayfarer. A traveler resides in a place for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Gharib. Gharib is a stranger who has just moved into a new town because he is passing through that town. In those days, people would travel for 15 days, 20 days, 30 days from one town to another town, and when they reach that town, then they would rest for 2 days, 3 days, and then move again. So this one who is residing 2, 3, 4, 5 days is Gharib. He is called Gharib because in that town nobody knows him. He has no relatives there. He has relatives in London, and his abode is Batley, and he is just passing through Leicester. He has known, so Gharib. Gharib, stranger. So he will stay here for 2-3 days at somebody's place. Maybe hotel according to those times, small places where they would give little rent and stay. Normally people would stay in other people's home. That was the culture. And wayfarer, somebody who passes by, just passing through cafe, petrol station, filling station. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stay in this world as if you are a wayfarer, as if you are a traveler. What does a traveler do? If you are a transit passenger in Africa, going from here to another place, passing through Africa, and we are transit passenger for 48 hours, 72 hours, what will we do? We are staying in a hotel, and we know that after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, I'll have to travel. Do we start making friendship? We don't make friendship. So stay in this world as if you are a traveler, transit. Don't make friendship. Number two, when we stay there for 2-3 days, and when we see somebody with a very good car, do we feel jealous? Do we feel jealous? No, we don't feel jealous. So stay like a traveler, don't feel jealous. Don't feel jealous. This is somebody in Kenya who has a Mercedes, no competition with me. I live in Leicester. So if we somebody here with very nice cars, very nice house, no jealous, because I live in Jannat. I live in Jannat. I will see him in Jannat. I will compare myself with him in Jannat, not here. If you are in transit for 3 days, 4 days, and you see a nice three-piece suit of sofas, would you buy it? No, you will say, I am a traveler. Will I take it to the hotel and after 3 days I leave it behind? All those people who are buying luxuries in this world, that is what they are doing. They are in a transit hotel in this world and they are buying everything and they will leave everything behind and go in Jannat, empty-handed. Such a beautiful saying of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kun fid dunya ka'annaka ghareeb. When we are in transit, even the richest of the rich, when he is in transit, he will only buy those items which he will be able to use whilst he is there, which he needs, which is a necessity. If it is not a necessity, he will not buy. He will save his money for his permanent abode. Similarly, the person who realizes that I am in this world as a transit passenger, he will not spend too much money in his worldly luxuries. He will use money for those items which are his necessities. All the other money, he will spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and secure it in the bank of Jannah in the hereafter. Understand, my friends. Understand. Even if the money is halal, even if your earning is halal, why should you squander your wealth and make your own loss? يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي. The human says, my wealth, my wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wealth, my wealth. وَلَيْسَ لَكَ يَبْنَ آدَمَ مِن مَالِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ أَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. The human says, my wealth, your wealth is what you have eaten, your wealth is what you have worn, your wealth is what you have used, and your wealth is what you have sent in the hereafter. Everything else is not yours. It belongs to your inheritors. And your inheritors will not even remember you. They will not see that my father has left behind millions for me, millions, billions for me, trillions for me. let me build a masjid for his sawab. You know, once in a while they will spend £51 in charity. The wealth that we leave behind for our children, if at the end of the year, if we ask an accountant that how much has my children, if you were to come back in this world and ask the accountant that how much of the wealth has my children spent on themselves throughout the year and how much on me, the accountant will say, I'm sorry, but not even not 1%. Not 1%. And on the day of Qiyamah, everybody will say, you are a fool. You are a fool. You left everything for your children, nothing for yourself. Nothing for yourself. Who can be more fooler than us? That we leave everything for other people and nothing for ourselves. If Allah had given us £10 million, what we believe in, Quran, Hadith, the hereafter, this world, if Allah had given us £10 million, what should have been the thought process? £2 million is too much for my son. I'm only leaving behind one son. £2 million is more than enough. And my son will not suffer, inshallah. But not 2 million, I will give him 4 million. But 6 million, I'm going to prepare my life for the hereafter. That should have been the thinking process. That is how the Sahaba thought. That is how the Tabi'in thought. 4 million, leaving behind 4 million for your children and 6 million for your hereafter. It makes sense. I'm not talking to non-Muslims, I'm talking to the Muslims. But no, we can't. We spend a very small fraction of our wealth. Very small fraction of our wealth for the pleasure of Allah, and that too only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether it is with ikhlas or not. Many a times we spend on those avenues where we are praised, where we are seen to be doing so much generous work. So in reality, we will find in the hereafter that we are doing nothing for ourselves. Nothing for ourselves. وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُوتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you conceal your sadaqat, and in that concealment, if you give it to poor people, that is better for you. That is better for you. Why? Because you will remain safe from riya. A very wealthy person, he said to me once, that Alhamdulillah, I have donated £20,000 to this particular masjid project. And he said, I have wasted my £20,000. A good person with a good heart who wanted to do something for his hereafter, he said, I gave £20,000 to this particular masjid project and I wasted my £20,000. So I said, why do you say that you wasted your £20,000? He said, I went to the local imam and I said to him that this is £20,000 for masjid. It remains between you and me because I am not safe from riya. So please don't tell anybody that I am donating. I am your local musalli. Everybody knows me here. I am doing this for my year akhirat. And he said, on Friday the imam mentioned my name that this brother has given £20,000. He said, I become the victim of riya and I wasted £20,000. How many people like that you will find that I want to spend without anybody knowing? And then he also says that the imam made the announcement and I said immediately there and then I started feeling proud. I became victim of riya and I have wasted £20,000. And why did he mention this to me? Because he came to give me some money for the Islamic Dawah Academy. So he said, please, it should remain between you and me. Nobody should know. I have people coming to me at the Islamic Dawah Academy. It's a long history. Islamic Dawah Academy was established in 1991. I have come across so many people who said that I am giving you this money. Not even my wife knows, not even my son knows, because I want to do something for my hereafter. Please don't tell anybody. And big sum. Big sum. For the construction of this masjid, very little number of wealthy people give donation. Big sums that you would expect. But one brother gave me £100,000. How much? £100,000, and he said, only Allah and I know. Because I had invested my money, he was from abroad, I had invested this money in a place, and it's completely, totally halal. There is no doubt about its being halal. And I wanted to do something for my hereafter. I don't even want my wife to know, my children to know. And the whole family knows me. He said, please don't tell anybody. So I said to him, I will have to let the account department know, because they will be making the receipts. We don't take donation without giving receipts. So he insisted that nobody should know, only you and I. And you have to know, because somebody has to know. I want to donate here, how can I give? The money came officially through account. How many people like this will you find, that nobody should know? Think about your hereafter, my friends. Think about your hereafter. Learn from the ulama. Learn salat from the ulama. Learn zakat from the ulama. Learn how to make your hereafter from the ulama. If Allah has given us wealth, we should play with that wealth to make our akhirat, not this world. We should learn to use that money to make our akhirat. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, we'll have nothing, nothing. Just spending without thinking. It's a profession. Spending in the path of Allah is also a profession. Because only that spending will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is done according to His pleasure and according to the way shown by His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we give preference to wrong projects. We give preference to wrong things. We become emotional sometimes. A businessman never enters a business deal emotionally. He always enters a business deal intellectually. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the business deal with Allah. You can never enter emotionally. You have to be intellectual. You have to think intellectually, not emotionally. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi, once we slaughtered, the Sahaba slaughtered a goat. Annahum dhabahu shatan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, distribute this goat. Distribute the meat of this goat. So they distributed the meat of the goat. And they left the shoulder meat. Shoulder. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam loved the shoulder meat. So they left one shoulder for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, distributed the rest. After a while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the meat that you were distributing, have you distributed everything or something is, you still have a leftover? Not that he was interested in the meat. He was interested in whether the task was accomplished or not. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said that we said, yes, everything has been distributed except for the shoulder meat. Baqiya katifuha. She said that everything has been distributed and what remains with us is the shoulder. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, no, you are wrong. Baqiya kulluha illa katifuha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everything is with us except for the shoulder. Why? Why is everything with us? Because shoulder is here, we will cook the shoulder, we will eat the shoulder, and it will be digested. And what you have given to the poor people, that has gone in the hereafter, it will remain with us forever and ever. What we send forward is ours, what we leave behind is not ours. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Regarding with Allah said, that it is the fadl of Allah. It is the grace of Allah. Wealth is fadl of Allah. Allah gives to whomsoever He wishes. It is the fadl of Allah. But it becomes the fadl of Allah if you use it correctly. If you use it to make your akhirat. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, stay in this world as if you are a traveler or a wayfarer. Traveler, wayfarer, he doesn't spend money here and there. He saves the money for his permanent abode, which is Leicester, which is London, which is Sheffield, which is Africa, which is China, which is UK. Here and there he doesn't spend. Unnecessarily. So a mu'min doesn't spend his money here and there unnecessarily. He saves that money for the hereafter. That I will spend it in good causes and make my hereafter. How many of us spend money for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a structured plan? How many of us? Can anybody raise his hand and say that, yes, I spend money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a structured plan? No, as and when. As and when. Somebody comes for collection, knocks at the door, collection for masjid. I will give £5, I will give £50 according to how I feel about the project. Poor person will come, I will give £50, £100. If I am wealthy, I will give £1,000. If I am more wealthy, I will give £5,000. If I am not so wealthy, if the opportunity arises, maybe build one house in India for a poor person, £2,000, £3,000 worth. If I am wealthy, I will build 500 houses. Structured plan, that this is my income. This is my income. So much percent should be in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Percent, so much should go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much, what is my income? Whatever we do for the hereafter is always a peanut. Whether you are a working class or whether you are a businessman. Working class will spend £500 per year, £1,000 per year in the path of Allah. That's peanut for him. And a rich person will spend £100,000 in the path of Allah. That is peanut for him. Because his empire is more bigger. Let us learn to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us learn to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that if a person spends £1 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant him the reward for £700. No, Allah did not say that. That is what Allah should have said. Because that is the gist of the verse. That if a person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will multiply it by 700 times and reward him. So if a person spends £1, Allah will reward him for spending £700. But Allah does not speak in that manner. Allah gives a similitude. The similitude of those people who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a grain. كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ. A grain. when you one seed, one grain, when you sow a seed, when you sow a grain of rice, grain of barley, grain of wheat, then it grows and it produces so many grains. What do you call them? Cones. Kya kehte hai barley ko, kya kehte hai cones? Ear cones, or only ears of corn. So if you plant one seed, then the plant grows and you have ear cones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of a person who spends a grain in the path of, who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a grain that produces 7 ear cones, and in each ear cone are 100 seeds. That is where Allah finishes. So basically Allah is saying that if a person spends one grain in the path of Allah, it is as if spending 700 grains. Why did Allah not say simply and clearly that spending one in the path of Allah is equivalent to 700? Why did Allah give this similitude? There are so many reasons. The reason is that one grain or one seed will only be able to produce more if that seed is healthy. If the seed is not healthy, it will not be able to grow more. It will rot inside. So number one, Allah is saying that the person who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be rewarded. He will be rewarded, multiplied by 700, if the money that he is spending is healthy. Healthy means it's halal. It's from halal sources. It is not rotten as a result of acquiring that wealth from haram sources. That is number one. And number two, this seed will only be able to produce 700 grains if that seed is sown in a good land, a fertile land, fertile soil. That means a person will be able to acquire 700 rewards for spending just one item if it is spent in the right place, right project. And number three, third point, the seed is healthy and the land is fertile, but the person who is sowing the seed is not a farmer, he is not expert. Again, nothing will happen. So a person whose wealth is halal and the project is very clear as well, he needs to consult the ulama, the farmers, the expert before spending. Or become an alim in that field himself by consulting over and over again. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me that stay in this world as a traveler or a wayfarer. Because it's a reality. When we go in the hereafter, Allah will question all of us. Kam labistum fil ardi adada sinin. How many years did you live in the world? And these long 70, 80, 90 years. And during the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 800, 900 and 1000 years. What will everybody say? Labisna yawman. We have lived in the world for one day, rather less than a day, part of a day. This is how this world will look, part of a day. Now we have two choices. This very, very small life, part of a day, which will look part of a day in the hereafter. This small life, either we sacrifice this small life for the hereafter, the everlasting life, or we sacrifice the everlasting life for this small life. The choice is ours. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the narrator who narrates from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, after narrating this hadith, would say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. When you wake up in the morning, don't wait for the evening. Don't expect to reach the evening. And when you reach the evening, don't expect to reach the morning. Only Allah knows when you will pass away. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع عسى ان يكون موتك بغته كم صحيح رايت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحه فلتتا. Whilst you have your leisure time, free time, you've got nothing to do, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says in these couplets that make the most out of it. اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع, try to perform extra rakat, extra nafl, optional deeds, do it whilst you have time. Tomorrow you may become busy, you may not have time. This Ramadan you are here for 10 days, next year you may not be able to sit in itikaf because of the circumstances at home, and you may not be able to get this free time that you have at the moment. Utilize it. You may die tomorrow. You may become bed bound. You may become disabled. May Allah safeguard all of us. The leisure time that you have at the moment, utilize it in carrying out virtuous deeds, extra deeds. Asa an yakuna mautuka baghtatan, it is possible that your death may strike you suddenly. And thereafter Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says, kam sahihin raitu min ghayri suqmin. There are so many healthy people I have seen who had no illness whatsoever. Dhahabat nafsuhu sahihatu faltatan. But death struck them suddenly. Suddenly, passed them. There are unfortunate people. Death strikes and leave suddenly in a bad state. Fortunate people who look after themselves, who look after their lives, who look after their amal. A person who continually engages in good amal, death will strike him whilst performing good amal. And Allah creates means, Allahu Akbar. Just recently, a pious alim of India passed away, last year. A year and a half ago, Qari Abbas Dharampuri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, khadim of the Quran, pious person. He was suffering from cancer. And cancer was in its last stages. And he made intention of going for Umrah. People in India, Pakistan, they don't have sufficient funds to travel to Umrah with the whole family. But he was able to put money together and he was able to reach Haramain Sharifain on his own. So he traveled on his own, despite the family being concerned about his well-being. He performed Umrah in Makkah Mukarramah. Thereafter he came to Madinah Munawwara. And I was also in Madinah Munawwara during those days, and we are acquainted to each other. I met him after a very long time because he hasn't been coming to the UK. He hadn't been coming to the UK. So when I met him, he said, I'm so happy to meet you here at the... I said, I'm also very happy to meet you. I had heard about your illness. It was not expected that we would meet here. And he was in a lot of pain. His hotel was very far, so every day he would come for Asr Salat and stay till Isha, late after Isha, but he was in a lot of pain. And from Madinah Munawwara he was to travel back to India. We met again the day before he was due to travel, and he traveled. And when I returned to the UK, I met Maulana Idris Sahib, who is a friend of mine here in Leicester, who teaches Bukhari Sharif in Darul Uloom Leicester. I met him and he said, did you participate in the janazah of Qari Abbas Dharampuri Sahib? So I said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Qari Sahib passed away. He said, yes. So I said, no, I didn't participate because I wasn't in India. I was in Saudi Arabia. He said, that's why I'm asking you. I said, no, Qari Sahib had left Saudi Arabia. He said, the person who dropped him off at the airport met me after Qari Sahib travelled from Madinah Munawwara. He was not in Madinah Munawwara. So maybe you are mistaken. He said, no, I am 100% sure. He passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. I said, no. He went to Makkah Mukarrama first and he came to Madina Munawara. And from Madina Munawara he traveled back to India. So I said, it's not possible. So he was saying that I am mistaken, I was saying you are mistaken. Because the news he received from India was that Qari Sahib had passed away in Makkah Mukarrama and he was buried in Makkah Mukarrama. And I said, no, it's not possible. Because Maulana Yunus had dropped him at the airport, and after he returned from the airport, when I met Maulana Yunus, I said, I am grieved very much, I said to Maulana Yunus. I said, I'm very much grieved because this man has only a few more days to go, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months. And he is returning from Haramain Sharifain. I said, it was my desire that Allah grant him death here. So Maulana Yunus said to me that I feel the same. But he had to go. Later, when I met Maulana Yunus, I asked him what happened. I said, Qari Sahib reached India or not? Where did he pass? He said, he passed away in Makkah Mukarrama. I said, how Makkah Mukarrama? How come Makkah Mukarrama? So Maulana Yunus told me that he traveled from Madina Munawwara by plane to Jeddah. That was his flight schedule. And from Jeddah, he was to travel to India. He said, that was the program. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, if I was feeling this way, that he has only a few weeks, a few months to go, and I wish he could die here, how must he have felt as a pious person? I'm sure he must have prayed to Allah that, oh Allah, grant me the blessings of Haramain Sharifain. And maybe that is why he came for Umrah. So Maulana Yunus said to me that because of his unwell health, I found two people from India who were traveling in the same plane. And I said to both of them that come what may, do not separate from him and do not let him separate from you. I said to the two people that come what may, whatever happens, don't separate from him and don't let him separate. Meaning keep him with you in the aeroplane at the Jeddah airport and then again in the aeroplane until he meets his relatives in Bombay. When they reached Jeddah, the passports were in the hands of the tour operator with whom they did Umrah. And by mistake, the passports of the two brothers remained in Madina Munawwara. So when they went to the office to collect the passports, everybody's passports had arrived except for the two people who were supposed to take him to India. Qari Sahib's passport was there as well. So they said, what shall we do now? Because we have promised Maulana in Madina Munawwara that we will keep him with us. So without taking permission from him, we cannot let him go to India. So they phoned Maulana. Maulana said that it is my habit that whenever somebody phones, I pick the phone up. But that day I was talking to somebody and I have put the phone on my silent. So the phone was on silent, they kept on phoning me. And Maulana Yunus said that Maulana was not that ill. So if they had contacted me, I would have said to them that you two remain behind and let Maulana go. Put him on the flight. But because they could not contact me, and they remembered what I said, that don't separate from him, don't let him separate, they did not let Maulana go to India. Now how did they get to Makkah Mukarrama? Because they were going to travel the following day. So they said to the tour operator that we are from India, we are not wealthy people. So we cannot spend money staying in a hotel, so you provide us because it is your mistake. So the tour operator said, I have no facilities in Jeddah. I have a hotel in Makkah Mukarrama. I have a hotel in Makkah Mukarrama which is empty at the moment. I don't want to spend money here. If you want to stay here, stay at the airport. And if you want to a hotel, then go to Makkah Mukarrama. And he said, I advise you to go to Makkah Mukarrama because you will have a hotel there and you will be able to perform an extra Umrah and I will pay for the fare of the taxi as well. So they all put on the ihram, including Maulana, and they went to Makkah Mukarrama. Maulana performed another Umrah, and after Umrah, Maulana passed away. During those 24 hours. And his Salatul Janaza took place in Haram Sharif and he was buried in Jannatul Mala. how Allah honors His people. When I heard of these details, I said, what an accepted man this person must have been. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَاءَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الصَّبَاحَ. We are in the morning, don't expect to live till the evening. In the evening, don't expect to live till the morning. Anytime death can come. For good people, good ways. Bad people, bad ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the good fortune to utilize every moment of our lives. And may Allah grant us the good fortune to die in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, in the state of Sajda, whilst we are performing the best amal of our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the good fortune of being rewarded with the rewards that He has granted His very special servants in the month of Ramadan. And may Allah enshroud us with all those barakat and with all those anwar and with all those rahmats and mercies and maghfirats that He has enshrouded His very close ones in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And may Allah grant us Shab-e-Qadr, the night of Qadr. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala says, irtahalati dunya mudbiratan, vartahalati al-akhiratu mukbilatan. World is going. That is for sure, world is going. Every second, world is distancing itself from us and akhirat is coming closer and closer. Close and close. Something that is distancing from us, don't give your heart to it. Give your heart to that thing which is coming closer, 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 akhirat. Akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And in order to prepare for that akhirat, we have to control our base desires. Control our base desires. Carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also carry out the mustahabbat and the sunan. The more amal we carry out, the more our heart and nafs will become healthy. And when nafs becomes healthy, when nafs is sick, it leads us towards evil deeds. When nafs is healthy, it encourages us to do good. The more good amal we do, stay in good company, stay away from bad company, especially try to sit in the company of the mashayikh, the ulama, the pious people, the people with taqwa, the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an objective. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us which dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. O Allah, I seek from you your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbak. And also the love of that person who loves you. Let us sit in the company of pious people, good people. Let us spend our time in good movements, good environments. Before engaging yourself in anything, check. Check whether this movement, this alim, this scholar, this sheikh, is he authentic or not? Is he reliable or not? And let us strive. Let us strive. Sit in good company, dhikrullah, as much as possible. Always try to remember Allah. Always try to remember Allah. Recite the Quran daily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مسيرنا، واجعل الجنه هي دارنا اللهم اجعل الجنه هي دارنا اللهم اجعل الجنه هي دارنا لا اله الا الله نستغفر الله نسالك الجنه ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم آتك رقابنا من النار اللهم اجعلنا من اتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.